You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Don't you see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous. This is the intermission sode that precedes the 2018 Tony Awards!
Did you guys watch our video?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these people are doing. To be perfectly frank.
I will say, at the start of this podcast, I don't know if any of you guys listen to My Favorite Murder, but I was like, I've decided, I thought I would be the Karen, and she would be the Georgia.
I don't know why you thought that.
We've had a plot twist here. And it was a shock to me to find out I'm the Georgia.
You're totally the Georgia. Listen, I still love you. I love you like a parent who is disappointed in their children. I love you unconditionally, but I'm not happy about your choices. I wish I could hear from you more often.
Mom. I think it's a good analogy. Yeah, it really is.
It's not good. My mom. My mom's so cool.
Yeah, mine never. She didn't complain either. The only time she complained was the one time she's like at my apartment. She thought I had left without saying goodbye because she was like leaving to go home to Maryland.
Oh yeah,
and. I can't remember if she texted me or when it was when I finally like saw her again. I was like, no, mom, I would not leave without saying a proper goodbye to you. She was like, okay, good. Because I started singing, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. That's what she said. It's literally what she said. My mother was a trip in 3/4.
Oh my gosh, I love her.
Literally said that. I was like, mom, I would
the
not.
The dynamics in a diverse family compared to how I grew up is so. And I just love hearing stories like that. Because it's, I mean. I just love it.
Yeah. My mom, she was pretty great.
That's great.
So on this episode, since it's the Tony Awards.
We're just going to talk about the Tony Awards.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Tony Awards.
I'm like, posting this the Wednesday before the Tony Awards, which basically mirrors exactly what we did a year ago.
Yeah.
Where we posted our very first Tony episode on the Wednesday before the Tony Awards.
Yep.
That's what we're doing this time. So happy anniversary, Ebony.
Happy anniversary, Pamela.
It feels like so much longer.
Well, it's because we've had like 3 seasons in 1 year. Because I don't think we actually understand how podcast seasons work.
So we just like, need breaks. So we're like, yeah, that's the end of the
that's
season.
That's the end of it. Because we have to take a break because we need rest.
That's very true. And we need a day to ourselves.
Yeah.
I just need a day to myself. That's what I would say if I was the parent of this podcast. You can call me all mom. You can all call me mom is what I actually meant to say. Oh, man. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Tony Awards. This year is going to be very exciting. There's a lot of shows. I know that you don't think so, but if you... Okay, bear with me.
Okay.
A lot of shows that are, yes, based on something, but like, just like, what? What? That's what you based a musical on?
Okay. Yeah. I see your point. I mean, literally every single new musical I could say that about.
Yeah.
Because the only one, I mean, Mean Girls has been joked about for
forever.
Like
that and Soap Dish. I'm still waiting for Soap Dish. They have had the rights to Soap Dish for at least 10 years now. Yeah. I want that on Broadway today.
Soap Dish. And I'm finally
old
fun.
Enough to like play one of the roles. I want to be in that so badly.
Let's keep like, I actually look at the stuff for you. Yeah. But you know that.
I know you do.
I send great. You text messages. I'm like
hey,
did you try out
I don't know if you know about this.
This is coming. This is happening.
Yeah, Soap Dish, people. Let's get it going.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, all of the Best New Musical nominees, you could definitely say that about.
I feel like it was the guys that did Urinetown that were going to do Soap Dish.
We have to look that. Let's look. Might as well look that up.
Do it. Maybe I'll look at the same time.
Okay. You might find faster than me.
Maybe. I've got very fast fingers.
I know they're working on Dave.
Oh, yeah.
That's at Arena right now. I was just talking to
Kristen
a friend about
Kristen Chenoweth reveals she may star in Soap Dish on the West End.
What's the date on that article?
2017 in April.
Oh, it's a year ago.
That's true. Oh, she that's just a rumor.
She would be amazing in that. She'd
Let me
be
see if I can find
also,
who wrote it.
We're talking about doing like a Pushing Daisies musical.
Oh.
I love the crap out of that show.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard recently from Kristen Chenoweth's Twitter that there was like maybe rumors of a Pushing Daisies reboot, which
yes, we talked about that, I think.
Did we?
Yeah.
I'm all for it because
you know,
like now there's a hole with the whole Roseanne situation on ABC. So next season, I'm just saying, if mm-hmm. you're still all about reboots, why don't you bring Lee Pace and Kristen and all of our favorite peeps back and mm-hmm. like try again?
I'm all for it.
Because I feel like I was talking to a friend about this last night. And the climate in terms of television has shifted, honestly, since Glee, right? Because Glee was, like, the first show that was, like, we can do a weekly show that's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you have shows that maybe aren't necessarily musicals, but they feel like musicals. Like, I'm obsessed with Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And that, I'm telling you, I watched that, and somebody said it on the Maisel Goys podcast. They were like, it feels like at any second they would just, like, break out into song. And that's one of the things I love about that show is it really does feel like that. But then you also have, like, Pose is coming next fall, and that's, like, a television musical, and that's by Brian – am I lying? Is that Brian Fuller? I might be lying, you guys.
I don't know.
It's actually the same guy who did Glee.
Okay.
And what else is – oh, then Rise just happened, you know, so I feel like the situation in television has changed a little bit to where, like, maybe it might be a good time for Pushing Daisies to get its next round.
Yes.
And there were musical breaks, like, while it wasn't...
It's very theatrical.
Well, but there were, there were actual musical breaks where, like, Kristen would break into song, like, she sang Hopelessly Devoted.
Yeah.
You know,
and Ellen Green, I mean, come on.
Yeah. It was, that cast was mad fun.
So the writers of Soap Dish are George Stiles and Anthony Drew.
Okay.
And I think the only thing that I really recognized that they wrote together was Honk. But they've also done a lot of shows like The Three Little Pigs and Goldilocks and...
it's mostly kid shows.
Yeah,
Soap
Wind
Dish
in the Willows.
Ain't no kid show.
It's not at all. But who knows? Anyway... So that's okay. We haven't even gotten to the Tony Awards, and
no,
we're halfway finished.
We're halfway through.
Okay, so we've got 7 more minutes to talk about the Tonys.
This is the first year, and I can't remember how long I won't even get to watch them.
So sad. I'm sorry.
It's real upsetting for me.
Can I just tell you? Okay, last year we did that huge party at your place,
my house.
And I love the idea of it.
Yeah, yeah.
When I'm actually there,
person.
I'm not.
No, so you're going to be
I don't like
home
a lot of people.
Yeah.
The only really good part about it was the food and the drinks.
Good...
And I did meet some nice people.
Yeah.
I just, like, this year, I'm in my apartment with my dogs, watching the TV. I get to choose, like, what I can listen to and where I can take my bathroom break.
Yeah.
And, like, if I want to, you know, read a book during this boring part. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
and I'm going to do it. It's very exciting to me. It's the introvert
I
have turned into. I know. I still think you should get, like, one of those hidden earpieces and just, like, walk around and listen to them with half an ear.
I wonder, like, how can I do that?
Well, you can't.
I literally thought about, I was like, here's the problem is, like, she wants me to also, like, kind of help with the, just make sure everything runs smoothly at the reception.
Of course.
Because otherwise I would have found myself a little corner and I would be sitting on my phone watching the Tonys.
How
no shame.
Selfish.
No shame.
Of your friend to get married on a Sunday in June.
But, like, I was like, you couldn't even plan it so it was during the, like, in the morning.
Right.
Or, like, just earlier so that it ended by, like, even 7:40.
Yeah, have a tea party. That's what I'm going to do for my wedding. I mean, I have plans, even though it seems an abstract theory at this point in time. But that's what I want to do. Like, have, like, a tea.
Yeah.
A high tea. For my wedding.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing a tea-length dress.
Yeah.
In my blue John Fluvog shoes that'll be very, very comfortable. Mm-hmm. It'll be lovely. I might have, like, 3/4 sheer sleeves.
If you really want that dress, I know that dress.
Yeah?
Yeah. I actually, like,
50s style full skirt.
It's literally from the 1950s.
Yes.
I know that dress. Like, my God, family has that dress.
I love that dress.
They listen to this podcast, too. So, Chloe, if you're not using the dress anymore.
Save it up.
Just saying.
Pamela might get married. Who knows?
Yeah.
You don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Sweet Pea doesn't know.
Nobody knows.
The only one that does
is God. It's true.
And I'm holding out just the tiniest little bit of hope, the teeniest, tiniest bit of hope that soulmate is out there for me and I'll find it before the end of my life.
Okay, we've not talked about the Tonys at all, guys, but you know what? Listen, here's the thing.
Right.
The thing is, we did an hour-long podcast about the Tonys, so you probably had your fill, so
that's
it's fine.
True.
So we're not actually going to talk about the Tonys, because I want to talk about, in regards to what you were just talking about, there is a new play off-Broadway that's called First Love, and it's about these two older people. They're, like, in their 50s or 60s. It's the first time they've ever fallen in love, and they've fallen in love with each other.
Oh, I love that.
I know. I'm like, I want to see this.
Me too.
It, like, seems really, really
maybe
precious.
We'll meet our first loves at First Love.
I'm telling you, the teeniest bit of hope. I need a unicorn.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not lowering my standards. I've watched people do that. Listen.
It never ends well, people.
No, it doesn't. Don't be stupid. Don't choose distractions and, like, people that you know you should, like, just don't
do it. There is nothing that I can get from a relationship that is worth me destroying who I am.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't choose mediocrity.
No.
Listen, life can be long. You can make it real, real long and real hard by making real dumb choices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I've seen people do it.
Yeah.
It looks real awful.
I don't want their life.
I'll die single first. I swear on everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. And why wouldn't I?
Yeah, and I would be happy. I mean, I'm happy already.
I have a puddle, and I have a sweet pea. I have my grooming dogs.
You have your awesome family.
I do have my awesome family.
Yeah.
They were the first ones I mentioned. You just didn't hear it. And I'm going to plug something because I just started making dog bows.
That's right.
My business is called Rough Ribbons. I have an Instagram, Rough_ribbons. And I'm going to open an Etsy store. And they're adorable. And
they're
love them.
Cute.
It's going to be really fun. And
it's
I'm just
cute.
Like, I'm. It's another little creative outlet. And I love it. I wouldn't give that up for a mediocre relationship. No, thank you.
Mediocre relationships are not, like, life is hard. Why life make it harder hard. By making a stupid decision?
Seriously.
I won't. No, don't make
I
bad
won't.
Choices. Make good choices.
I was talking with, I'm going to change the subject.
Do it.
Well, not even the subject, but I'm going to change the destination and tone of this particular conversation into a little bit of sadness.
Okay. Somebody
but it kind
died?
Of still goes, well, we all know her in the Broadway community. She didn't die. Ruthie Ann Miles, though.
Oh, my God. The story is the most
painful awful.
Thing.
Ruthie Ann Miles, Lady Tiang in the Broadway revival of King and I.
And she was meant to go
Well, she still is. She is going to be co...
Today I read it's, like, not sure.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, like, after she lost Abigail,
okay,
she
so
also lost the bit. So it's
basically
like
what happened was some idiot woman... I am full judgment here.
The lady had seizures.
And they knew she had seizures
because
she has run a red light 4 separate times.
Hit other people.
Ran a red light, hit people, killing 2 children and Ruthie Ann's unborn baby.
Yeah.
And Ruthie Ann was in the hospital for quite a while.
A long time.
With injuries to herself.
Yeah.
So basically, my friend Juliet and I were talking about this. And about how sad it was.
Story.
And I said, you know, we are all of us one very stupid decision away from a major catastrophe like this happening to us. So it's very easy for us to judge standing from the outside.
Right.
But at the same time, what if something like that happened to me? What if I decided something and that decision led to a tragedy like this? And it's just an awful thing. So that was the correlation I was making to, you know, making these decisions.
And the thing is, too, I mean, in her case, like, she continued to make... The same bad decision over and over.
Yes.
And it's just like...
But she also, listen, run a red light and hit a child.
Drug the child.
To run away.
And hit... So she...
Dragging the stroller behind you.
And hitting another
parked
man.
Yes, and some parked cars as well.
Yeah.
Until finally, people... surrounded you, taking you out of the vehicle that has just committed a crime,
murder,
or manslaughter is probably what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And there's just no excuse for that. But anyway, so just make your decisions on the side of God, Allah, Buddha, whoever you want to prescribe to.
Yeah.
Make that decision based on the positive and not on entitlement and not on this is my own selfish want.
Right.
I'm standing on a soapbox. Here's the problem.
We've been
soapboxing. Because this is, I know. But because this is the problem. It's like we can talk about this stuff because we are outside of it. Mm-hmm. But what if something like that happened with me? What if I made a poor decision and something really terrible like that happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got all of these people talking against my decision. And so this is the trouble with standing in judgment against someone. It's so easy for us to do so until something happens.
My caveat with her is like, it wasn't one time.
Right. No.
She's like
4 times that she was caught.
Yeah.
4 times.
And she was caught. And so that, like, that's the thing for me. Like, that's where it crossed the line where I was like, okay, if this had been a one-time deal, she'd never had a seizure before. And she was like, oh, my God, what happened? Like, I would feel so wrecked for her.
Everyone in that situation
would
have lost.
Wrecked for her.
Yeah.
And wrecked for, like, I am wrecked for, my God, I'm wrecked for Ruthie.
Oh,
one of
those poor
loveliest
little babies.
Human beings in the
completely.
Whole wide world. My God.
Coming from a church event.
That's the thing. I'm like, really, Lord? Really?
And I got to tell you, because I'm a nanny during the week, and I got to tell you, it's like, You can't, first of all, I know that you should always take a breath when the light turns to walk. You should, when the White Walker shows up, this is what I tell Miles, when the White Walker shows up, you always have to look in both directions to make sure that nobody's coming through, because you can't trust that people are going to be following the laws. Right. But this was not just a breath. No. They were in the middle of the intersection when this woman charged right through.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So we just continue to pray for Ruthie and her husband, Jonathan. And
the other family in this, because
they had their son and their son's gone.
Yeah.
It's just like the worst.
It's very, very sad. It's very, very sad all around. And I'm not discounting the pain that this woman's family is going through either, because that has got to be very difficult for them as well.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so sad all around, and it could have been prevented.
Yeah.
That's all.
Those are like the Shakespearean tragedies, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like,
Friar,
whatever. Like, whatever, if he had gotten to Juliet in time. Like,
or if he had just,
Romeo in time.
When Juliet woke up, if he had been there when Juliet woke up to say, he's not dead.
Yeah.
And then been there when Romeo woke up to say, she's dead, but don't kill yourself. Yeah. It's like, ugh. Or whoever killed themselves last. It was Juliet.
Juliet.
Oh, that's right. So Juliet wasn't dead. So if Friar had, our father had gotten there to Romeo to say, she's not dead.
Yeah.
She just took a little sleeping pill.
Yeah.
She's going to wake up in a couple minutes, and you're going to have egg on your face if you do anything. Yeah. If they had just had cell phones back then.
I mean, somebody did. Oh, gosh. Man, where was I? It was so funny.
I think I know what you're talking about.
The operator.
Yeah.
It's in working. Is it in working?
Okay.
I think it's in working.
I don't know.
Yes, it's the operator in working. Yes, it is. So her song is so funny because she says, like, there are tragedies like Romeo and Juliet that, like, if she had been the operator and they had called her line, she would have been the one to, like, stop Juliet from killing herself. Yeah.
You run to that mausoleum right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I saw Othello at Shakespeare in the Park on Sunday, and that was, like, the same moment.
Like, operator, my husband beats me.
No.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking?
So what should have happened to prevent, like, the whole thing is, like, somebody should have been like, Othello, listen.
Oh,
that
dude,
Iago,
totally.
He's full of shit.
He is talking crap.
He's stabbing your ass in the
back.
He hates
stirring
you.
Things
like, just stay
up.
Being a good man like you are. And, like, Desdemona, like, she actually really digs you.
She's a good chick.
She's not cheating on you.
No.
So, like, don't listen to this fool. Maybe just hang him.
That, I will say, though, is as close to social media as Shakespeare could possibly get. Because how many times have we believed someone that was trying to stir the pot?
It's Twitter. Othello is Twitter.
It
or
is.
Or Iago and Othello is Twitter.
Is Twitter.
Yeah.
He just made up a fake account and was like, I love you, Desdemona. It was nice seeing you the other night.
Or he's like that show Catfish I've been watching.
Oh, yeah,
on
totally. Yes.
Iago is Catfish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Iago. What kind of name is Iago?
Iago, I know. I mean, the only Iago I liked was like the bird. And
the parrot in Aladdin.
Yeah. Yep, like that one.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Shakespeare really is a lasting, I mean, because you can modernize that and it still works really well.
It works because we're humans. We don't change that much.
A story is a story is a story. Yeah. A good story is a good story is a good story. Yeah. Yep.
Same problems, just different day. That's true.
Well, that's the end of this intermission. So maybe we'll make another one for the actual Tonys.
So in the end, guys, just like, you know, make good choices.
Good choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we are talking about today.
Look, we've all stood in judgment here, but try to do it with some humility and also try to see it from the other person's perspective as well. I think we've done that. I try to be very fair in my
but we're sad,
judgments.
Like, you know, we're on the
she's
Ruthie
still
side.
Alive and having seizures, but she can get fixed.
Yeah.
These poor little babies are dead. Yeah. and they will never see their parents again until the end of times. And that is the saddest thing of all. Because babies. She knew she was having Caesars and she could have made a better decision and she decided not to. So.
It's rough.
It is rough. It's all very sad. And I just downhilled again. I'm sorry. We're spiraling. It is 9 o'clock. That's my bedtime. Mm-hmm. Good night.
Good night. Make good choices.
Happy Tonys. Have a good time. Tonys. No. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to have a Tony party you're going to drink, you either spend the night or take an Uber or walk home if you live in New York.
Listen, again, make good choices is what we're saying.
Yes.
Is what we've been saying.
Even if you think you're okay.
You're not.
You're not.
Just take the Uber.
Just plan it.
If you don't have tons of money, that's what Lyft Line
share.
And Uber Share is for. Like, listen, there's no reason to make a dumb choice.
No.
Just share a car.
Well, and also drive. I will say, because I read something about drunk walking, which can be just as dangerous.
Guys, don't do that.
So if you think you're at all impaired, just take an Uber.
Unless here's when you can walk. You can walk when, after you've drunk, when you're at a restaurant where literally the subway is like next to.
Okay. I'm
literally
good.
Next to it.
Yeah.
Okay. And your apartment is literally next to it. Like, if you're drinking, that's when you can walk, is when it's right next door. Because we don't want you falling in the street and, like, getting hurt. Like, just listen.
Make good decisions. I think it really does come down to just making
good
decisions.
Just make good choices.
Okay, everybody, we're going to send you on your way.
Okay, bye.
Make good choices. Make mommy proud.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.